for America.
And I think I need not remind anyone on this committee, like any American, Sergeant Bergdahl has rights, and his conduct will be judged on the facts, not political hearsay, posturing, charges, or innuendo.
Fighting for Idaho.
Hoping for the sake of the family that you all will go away and leave the family alone, let the process work, and let them get back to their normal lives.
Fighting for you.
Kevin, we cannot go on like this with nothing except speculation up in the media. I mean, he deserves better. We deserve better.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
I appreciate the chance to be with you again, brother. I look forward to being back out in Idaho. Thanks, Semper Fi.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Bo Bergdahl continues to be a big story. His recovery now that he's at Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas. We go now live there to speak with Mark Johnson of Channel 7. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Pretty good. You know, that's a tough gig for you. On one hand, it's so uber important to get the Bergdahl story, but you're right in the heart of Spurs country. You're probably torn on, I guess, just which to focus on.
It was kind of humorous last night during our 10 o'clock live shot that we were doing, of course, 11 o'clock here Central Time. And as the TV light goes up on my live shot, suddenly from the adjoining Interstate I-35, horns are honking. People are yelling out their window, "Go Spurs, nag, we're world champions." And so here I am, trying to tell the Bo Bergdahl story, who has been here since early Friday morning, while crazy, rabid Spurs fans are thinking I'm covering some sidebar Spurs event at Fort Sam Houston. It was surreal.
Mark, that's quite a commitment that KTVB has to send you there. Why is it important that you're there?
Well, Kevin, I think this is, as we've said a couple of times, this is one of the bigger stories that certainly we've covered in modern times in our state, given the circumstances of this young man captured by the enemy, held in captivity for 5 years. Originally there was some talk that there would be ticker tape parades and governor proclamations, and of course to have this sort of controversy and this cloud surrounding this story. In my 32 years in the business, I've never covered a story like this. There's so much interest in this story and this insatiable need to find out any tidbit that might lend itself to understanding why Bo may have walked off of his camp, how he was captured. We're here to try to glean whatever we can get from the Army and find out what the next phase in this chapter is going to be.
Mark Johnson joining us from Channel 7 here live at outside Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas. You know, it's fascinating, though, Mark. You were at the news conference with the Bergdahls and how the story shifted from, hey, it's great that he's home, to a lot of visceral reaction both on the air and online.
Well, and as the hours unfolded after that press conference and his former colleagues and leaders of his unit started coming forward with what they thought was their side of the story or the facts that as they thought they were, suddenly then this controversy just took up and became really a windstorm around the world. And so that's really when the story shifted and took a different direction. And that's really the impetus for the Army announcing that they've got this unnamed two-star general to lead the investigation, which they are hoping will begin next week. There's no interrogation going on right now. There are no questions being asked about the event by members of the medical team, which number 100 working on his reintegration right now. But they really want to make sure that he's competent, that he is able physically and mentally to answer the hard questions and the interrogating questions that are certain to come beginning next week when they start, hopefully, getting the facts out of this case.
Mark, for those folks in Idaho that haven't been to Fort Sam, you're right outside there. It's an impressive facility.
It's really an impressive facility, Kevin, and you'll recall the story that we did back in the fall. In October, we were here for the former Boise State student Micah Anderson, who married a Boise girl, Lindsay Bomarito, who he went to Afghanistan, and of course it's well known now he stepped on an IED and both of his legs were blown off. And so we came to Fort Sam and Brooke Army Medical Center to the burn unit when he was in the middle of his reintegration process and also his rehabilitation to get fitted for prosthetic legs. And I'm happy to report we're going to do a follow-up with him later on today. He's got a young son by the name of Jay, who's a huge Boise State fan, even at the age of 2 years old. But I can tell you it's a much different scenario that we found now than what we found then. When we had access to Brooke Army Medical, we were able to go onto the base, Kevin. We were able to see where Lindsay and baby Jay lived in their temporary housing just about two blocks from where Micah was in his hospital room. We were able to get shots inside Brooke Army Medical. I can tell you right now this place is locked down. No media coming in, no media going out. Very few civilians able to get in there. They have to have a close personal relationship with a soldier that's being treated at Brooke Army Medical in order for them to get in. This place is pretty much on lockdown, and there's one reason for that, and it's Bo Bergdahl.
Mark Johnson joining us from Channel 7, 580 KIDO. What was it like, though, going into Brooke Army Medical Center and being around those troops? We had a chance to go there a couple years ago, and for me it was just flooring. You describe, you report for a living. What was it like for you as a civilian to go in there and to do these stories and to be there now under entirely different circumstances?
Well, I don't want to over-dramatize this, but I can tell you that you have a lump in your throat, as you know, Kevin, the entire time that you're in there, because you see soldiers coming out of surgery, you see soldiers coming out of physical therapy who have one hand, have a prosthetic arm from the elbow down, who have a prosthetic leg from the hip down. In Micah's case, he's being fitted for two prosthetic legs from both hips down, and they have the best possible state-of-the-art treatment and rehabilitation program and prosthetics known to mankind. It really does show you that the Army, our military, does an incredible job taking care of its wounded warriors. And we saw that when we were inside Micah's unit. And a wounded warrior from the Wounded Warriors organization was here and talking about how important it was to make sure that our soldiers who were coming back wounded had an opportunity to get better, had an opportunity to get back into the kind of life that they experienced before they were hurt, with their families, being able to hold their children, being able to get a job and do the things that they really had dreamed of doing when they entered the military. And this place is a working model for that. And it's one of the reasons why they have a team of 100 medical professionals working on Bo Bergdahl's mental status so they can make sure that he is mentally competent and stable enough to handle the grilling that certainly is to come.
Mark Johnson joining us from Channel 7, 580 KIDO. He's live at Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas. Mark, it's probably very too early for you to ask, but the different perceptions nationally than locally of the Bergdahl story. Have you had any chance to catch up with folks that are covering the story nationally? Again, you just got in country there, so that might be a little tough.
Well, I have a little bit, although I will tell you that shortly after we touched down yesterday morning and I talked to a few members of the media who were going to give this a once-over, a small blush before they headed down to the Alamo Dome to cover the Spurs, they were saying that the story had kind of shifted a bit down here from an indictment in the press to a, oh, the Army is going to have an official investigation. They are putting a two-star general on this. They are going to try to get out the facts. This is not a situation where Bo is going to be released and allowed to go straight home to Haley and enjoy a peaceful rest of his life, at least at this moment. So the story had shifted kind of to, okay, well, let's let the military system play itself out in whatever support the military uses. And now it's kind of like a let's wait and see, and the judgment phase probably is not as intense now as it was a week ago.
Mark, you take a look at Haley and covering the story from the very beginning and just the reaction from the, you know, bring Bo back folks to Bo's back to cancellation to people urging threats against the Berg dolls and such. You just wonder where the story goes from here, and you're right at the epicenter of it.
Well, again, this thing was crazy, and the blogosphere, as you know, was lit up, and it was a firestorm, you know, as recently as Wednesday and Thursday of last week. But again, once Bo got here and once the military put a system in place and was transparent about what they were looking to do and assured the American public that this was going to be a situation that they were going to handle. And I think then all of a sudden things calmed down a little bit, and now people are kind of like in a wait and see period. I can tell you, Kevin, that I was told yesterday by a member of the military, the Army spokesman who is working on this case, that Bo does not have access to a television. He does not have access to a computer, so there's no internet. He is oblivious to the controversy surrounding his case. He does not know. He also has yet to talk to his parents. I understand there's one report that said he has been able to talk to a close friend. We don't know who that is or how he connected with a, quote, close friend. But as far as outside any kind of communication outside the Brook Army Medical Center, it doesn't appear that Bo has access to any of that. He's pretty much in the dark.
Well, and you take a look at it, that's a unique facility. It's a big facility, as you know, and pretty much live there forever without going on the outside. It'll be interesting. And apparently one of the so I guess it's Bo's choice now whether or not to talk to his parents. We had heard earlier, Mark, that you know, they wanted to hold off on that because it would might be too emotionally traumatic for him.
Right. We've heard that a couple of times. And, of course, you know, the older veterans that I've talked to, you know, kind of are kind of incredulous to that. You know, you'll remember the stories of our Morrison Knutson guys getting home after being incarcerated in Japanese prisoner of war camps for 3, 4, 5 years. And they came back to San Francisco and came straight back to Boise. And they were working back at Morrison Knutson in the next day after spending the weekend with their families. And so there's a lot of people that say, wait a second, how have things changed so much in those decades since our guys came home after being incarcerated for 4 or 5 years. But this is the way now that modern science has told the mental experts how this needs to be handled, how that reintegration process needs to be handled. And apparently the traumatic moment that can happen when still a young man, I mean, Bo's, what, 28 years old when he sees his parents for the first time in 6 years now. What does that do to the brain and to the stability in such a frail manner? The experts are saying it needs to happen organically. It needs to happen when Bo's parents and when Bo are ready for that to happen.
Mark, finally, what can we look forward to watching your reports from Channel 7 this week?
Well, this military team of experts, the medical staff assigned to Bo's case, have been working on this moment for the last 3 to 4 years, I've been told. They number 100, and they are handling every single aspect of his reintegration back into society, or at least back into a situation where he can sit down and answer questions and have a conversation with the investigators. We're here to find out whatever the facts we can get from the military coming out of Fort Sam Houston. Later today, the leaders from his team of medical experts will get together to analyze the data that they have gathered since he got here on Friday. Also, the data from Landstuhl that they gathered in Germany. So they're going to analyze that data, take a look at just where they believe he is, and they're going to come up with a game plan for moving forward. And again, as I mentioned, the Army would like to get the investigation process underway in a week. So the medical team will figure out a way that they can best hit that deadline. It's not really a hard deadline, though, because as we've been reporting, things are fluid. Things don't happen quickly in a situation like this, and that so-called deadline of next week could be pushed back, probably won't be moved forward, but there's a chance that it could be another week before they deem him competently able and ready to handle any line of questioning that could come down.
Well, Mark, we appreciate you making time for us this morning. I know you've been very busy, and it's a quick turnaround, so thank you very much, sir.
Happy to do it. Hopefully today when we're doing our live shots, we don't have to listen to those crazy Spurs fans honking their horns.
Safe travels, Mark. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Take care. That's our great friend Mark Johnson joining us from Channel 7 live outside of Fort Sam Houston. Keep it to tune to Channel 7 for the latest on the Bergdahl situation. We'll have your chance to comment on a few things. By the way, coming up next, is it a man purse or a MERS? Startling details next. At 580 KIDO, what type of man has a purse? No, not me. Let's get you to work safely and on time. 580
on Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's go to Russell in CUNA. Good morning, Russell.
Good morning, Kevin. I want to thank you for that report from Mark. It's good to hear that the mob mentality is starting to calm down and the voices of reason are starting to happen in Bo's case. This being tried in the media in the past has not been helpful.
Well, I mean, really, there's the national perspective and there's the local perspective. You have people that, you know, have issues with Bo Bergdahl.
When, as you know, I work at Fort Bliss in El Paso, Texas. And as you said, there is a national reaction and local. And I was grilled by some of my coworkers down there about being from Idaho. And some of their reactions down there were a bit perplexing to me.
Such as?
Well, we did have on the down there at the military base, we did have a reaction on both sides. There were some people there that wanted to hang him immediately. And there's others that said, hey, well, let's let this take its course. And I was more, I felt that those were the more mature people that were saying, hey, let's, you know, let this play out and take its course and not jump to conclusions. But there are some that have jumped to conclusions.
So, again, people wanted to hang him.
Yes. Some of the people where I worked. We're ready to hang him.
Wow, you work in a tough place.
I do. I think I've told you about some of the things down there that go on. But, you know, I'm getting a good cross-section of military people, civil service types that work for the military, and contractors. So I had a good cross-section of what was going on and people's feelings outside of the state of Idaho.
Well, Russell, we thank you for the call.
Well, thank you. Good talking with you.
All right. Our great friend Russell from CUNA here at 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. A couple of news of the day. By the way, I want to thank, who is this, Robert, for detailing on my Facebook my MERS. I never leave home without it. It's from our friends at Modern Musket. It's and I said, you know, what type of man has a purse? And remember, this happens incrementally. It's earrings, it's piercings, it's this, it's that. Before long, the urinal is going to be out the window. The urinal is going to be out the window. So Robert sends me a picture of his MERS, which is a man purse. It's not a purse, it's a satchel. Indiana Jones carries a satchel. What a movie. But in all seriousness, Kevin Miller, I use my MERS regularly. It contains emergency medical supplies, an extra mag for my Glock, a spare knife, flashlights, water, snacks, and a few other miscellaneous items. It's kind of like a mini bug-out bag. I recommend everyone carry one. I never leave home without mine. Well, thank you for that, Robert, your details here. But again, Have you noticed this? And maybe it's not catching on here. Maybe it's catching on maybe in San Francisco. Maybe it's catching on in other progressive hotbeds. But the other day I'm sitting there walking around. We'll just call it the supermarket. And there's a guy walking around with a MERS. And I'm thinking to myself, has this become the acceptable, I guess, way of keeping all your must-have gadgets? You know, like your phone, your tablet, your everything else. And you never see Walt Longmire have a MERS, would you? You'd never see John Wayne have a MERS. Why are men today having the MERS? And by the way, at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, a lot of you might think, well, maybe you're a woman and you're tired of carrying the purses. So you say, hey, my man has a MERS. What's wrong with that? I'm a forward-thinking person. Just like everything else that's gone awry, I might be on the wrong side of history on this, but I'd like to hear from you. Is it manly? Is it manly to have a MERS? Think about that, and I'd love to hear from you next. Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller. Every week, America Top 40 is heard in the 50 states and around the world on great radio stations like 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's go live to New York. Our friend Jeff Manasso joining us at 580KIDO. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, the Bo Bergdahl issue, that's an interesting thing from a national perspective. I mean, we've been covering it here. So the national perspective, probably different from the local one. What's the latest?
Well, is it? I mean, I don't know. We sent a team to Haley, Idaho, to talk to people in that town, and they seem to be divided. And it seems to be there's a division across the country. The latest on Bo Bergdahl is that he's in San Antonio. He was brought there late last week as part of his reintegration process, and we heard from doctors over the weekend. Who specialize in what the Army calls reintegration, helping prisoners of war and kidnapping victims readjust to either military or civilian society. They say that they've done testing on Bergdahl and that he appears to be okay physically. He's speaking in English, one of the things he hasn't done in years, being able to speak that language. More testing was done over the weekend, and more testing continues, but they say that it is going to be a long process for him.
Well, and again, you take a look at the process and the reaction on Capitol Hill, the Daily Beast over the weekend releasing letters that he sent home to his parents, John McCain stating that there's no excuse, Bergdahl stating in the letters, wait until I get home or wait until the story's told before you judge me. Mm-hmm. He's got some harsh critics from some powerful people up there.
Well, he does. And, the Army is not ruling out charging Bo Bergdahl once this reintegration process is over. He went missing, as you know, in June of 2009. We've heard from fellow soldiers who say, look, this guy walked off the base. You know, he was talking about it in previous weeks, saying, what if we just, I just walked away. And he told it was not a good idea, but apparently did it anyway. And the Army, in their fact-finding investigation shortly thereafter, concluded that he left his outpost deliberately and of his own free will. Now, in terms of, whether or not he deserted, desertion means that they would have to know that he would have to have it would require knowing his intent before he left, and I don't think they have that, so I think they're looking into it. It certainly is not over for Bo Bergdahl or his family. His family, by the way, remaining silent as they probably should. They want their privacy. They're asking for it. I think most people are respecting that.
Right. And, it's interesting, though, the stories that are coming out that are trying to give the other side of the perspective, if you will, where you have the Post with their story, the Beast with theirs. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this in modern era where we have whether he deserted, what his intentions were. He left Post without permission, in captivity. Now we're learning the details of it. Now, today, as you said, he's learning how to speak English again. It begs the question whether 5 years being held against your will is punishment enough.
I think that it's a pretty severe punishment, and I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But I think the reason why this is such a big story and why people won't let it go is because the president used Bo Bergdahl's parents as props and called him an American hero. We heard from Susan Rice, who said he served admirably and with distinction. And if he left on his own free will and deserted, that would negate that comment. I mean, that would be not so. And there are stories surrounding what he was doing in Afghanistan. You know, was he more kind of on a mission, to work with the Afghani people? Apparently, he was spending more time with the Afghans than he was with his own platoon. And I just don't know. I don't think any of us really know until the Army completes their investigation. There are many people on Capitol Hill who have a lot of questions surrounding what the deal is with Bo Bergdahl and why the president would exchange five top-ranking Taliban members, apparently one, according to some reports, who had a hand in the planning of 9/11, to this soldier. We don't leave any soldier behind. That's the ethos that we've heard back and forth and back and forth throughout this story in the last couple of weeks. But many question the deal.
Indeed, of course. So we'll see how that plays out in the future. And, of course, what happens when the two-star general concludes his report on this? You go back to, I guess, the difference between, I guess, the local reaction and the national is, yeah, folks in Haley that really, kind of questioned, just like folks in Idaho, kind of questioned the circumstances, Jeff, of his disappearance here at 580 KIDO. And yet, I guess they were almost kind of okay with that, and they were ready for this big Bo's back celebration. And because of the threats, because of the negative reaction, they had to cancel it. So it's interesting how it plays out.
It really is. And, a lot of people are saying it is because of the negative reaction to Bo Bergdahl. I mean, look, there was nobody supporting Bo Bergdahl more than Haley, Idaho. And for years and years and years, they rallied behind the family. And all of a sudden he was released, and it was jubilation until facts started coming out. And, yeah, they got a lot of calls. We talked to officials in that town. They got a lot of calls and a lot of negative press. But it was also the story, the real story that started to kind of creep out. And wait a minute, there's a lot of questions here that made some people uneasy. And that's also one of the reasons why they scrapped it, the homecoming.
Jeff Manasso, always a pleasure, brother.
Thanks, Kevin.
Take care. Our friend Jeff Manasso joining us from Fox News Radio. Coming up next, who needs soccer? First, let's get you to traffic.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. A couple things going on here as we move along. The issue here involving soccer. Now, I know we've had the propaganda about the World Cup, and the ratings are a bonanza, and it's so funny to hear the sports guys try and really get involved and hyped up about the World Cup. Now, like I said, we could either go back to the man purses at 580-5436, what man has a man purse, or an issue that always has been percolating me about the sport of soccer. And people say that soccer is a fast-growing sport. We've been hearing that for years. The little kids play. It's wonderful. It's exciting. It never translates. And coming up, we'll tell you why. But I find it fascinating that sports, along with entertainment, has become our form of education in our society today. It's really indoctrination. We're taught that to be diverse, to be accepting, that we should love soccer. In fact, you listen to any of the folks that cover sports for a living, and what do they tell you? Hey, that was a great one. Brazil beat Venezuela. Do we really care in America? Do we care in Idaho when it's about football, when it's about crushing your opponent, not the communist socialism of soccer where everybody gets a chance to touch at the ball? I mean, really, it is socialism. Everybody can kick the ball, if you will. Football, it's select, it's survival of the fittest. It is truly Darwinistic, the sport of football. And yet, our own media underscores soccer by saying, well, you know, the rest of the world is into soccer. We in America are on the outside looking in. Well, of course we are. We're Americans. We like the NBA, the NFL, college football, and NASCAR. There's nothing wrong with being different. Why would we want to be like Europe with their $9 a liter for gasoline? What is a liter anyway? That's why the metric system never caught on. Anyway, let me share you this brief piece by Stephen Moore of the Weekly Standard. The World Cup is underway, and other than the Olympics, it will surely be the most closely followed sporting event with estimates of more than 1 billion TV viewers worldwide. I always love it when the local people go, it's more popular than the Super Bowl, really? Maybe in other countries that, in my opinion, don't matter compared to America, and good for them. By the way, have you seen the ad for McDonald's? Talk about being anti-American. It's an ad where you have this Latino family. They're getting ready to watch the World Cup, and apparently, I guess it's they're getting ready to cheer on, I believe it's, well, a team from Central America. Let's just be politically correct. And so the mother and the daddy are lecturing the kid because he's going to go to the garage and watch the World Cup and cheer for America. In fact, he's got a girl. Oh, it's always a girl, isn't it? Except today when it's a boy and a boy, but there's nothing wrong with that. So here you have, so he puts on an Uncle Sam hat. He takes it down because he's embarrassed and ashamed of America. And this is a major advertising investment from McDonald's. That's one of the reasons why I don't want the World Cup. It's international. It's global. It ain't America. Think about it. America can't even get the World Cup in because the other countries are jealous of us. They don't like us. So they take it down to Brazil where they have corruption, where they have beatings, and that's just the fans trying to get into the stadium. That's not fiction, that's fact. Let me get quickly to Stephen Moore's piece. I mean, can we understand a major advertiser in America? A major advertiser in America is showing a family that is cheering for another team besides the American team, and they grab the red, white, and blue and hide it. And I thought, what a microcosm of what our citizenship has become under the Obama administration. We're embarrassed of America. Can you believe that? The World Cup is underway. 1 billion TV workers, and oh, I won't be watching them. Why? Soccer is boring. And then he spells out boring. I'll spare you of that. I've often argued that the entire world, the only thing worse than playing soccer, is watching it. It's about as exciting as staring at the clothes dryer for 2 hours as your shirts and pants tumble around. I don't know which is worse to watch, golf or soccer. Well, at least you have the crazy fans in soccer. Just as in soccer, if you get a sandwich or go walk for a mile and then return to the screen, guess what? Nothing has happened. The last soccer match I watched was when the U.S. played China for the championship in what seemed like an eternity. Consecutive life sentences. The score was 0-0. That was scintillating. Now, let's really get wild and watch a congressional hearing on C-SPAN. I agree. I mean, the sports media has done a grave injustice not only to nationalism, not only to pride, not only to everything else, but this embracing of the World Cup. I mean, do you really think that those sportscasters are into what's going on in the World Cup? They're doing it because they're told to do it. They're told. Just like everything else with different folks and different strokes and different lifestyles, it's entertainment, it's sports that is churning us away from what it made us good and wholesome, God, guns, and football. So don't feel like an outsider if you're not into the World Cup. Proudly embrace your American sports roots. Hey, soccer's not bad. It's great for the kids. It's a wonderful sport for the kids. Will it ever make it in America? Probably not. And there are reasons for it. Americans love achievement. And with the exception of Obamacare, they detest socialism. They detest a one-size-fits-all mentality. That's why it didn't work for the Soviet Union, right? Words to live by from your friend Kay Milley. Let's get you to traffic at 580. As we said before, soccer is socialism. And as everybody continues to talk about the World Cup, be happy. I mean, we're, what, 90 days away from football, finally, college football and everything else. And how many times, and here's the other thing. You ever go to a soccer match, a friendly, if you will? The fans there ain't so friendly to the United States of America. And whether they want to admit it or not, whether McDonald's wants to admit it or not, we make the world go round and round. We still do. President Obama or nothing. Something to think about for the pro soccer surrogates that continue to permeate throughout the airwaves. We're your inoculation for that. Good day. God bless. We appreciate you listening. Tell a friend. We'd love to be here for a while. And keep the faith. Serving Emmett.